welcome to episode 25 of Bee Boomer Unleashed. I'm Jerry Lake, the Unleashed Baby Boomer, and I'll be your host today, as with every episode of Bee Boomer Unleashed. We've been talking about the evolution of the church and Christian values, and we're into the decline of core values in the church, part three, and we'll be talking about today the means of salvation. How does a person get to heaven? How does a person get to know whether he or she is going to spend eternity in heaven? Before we get into that discussion today, I want to remind you where you can find our podcasts. We have several platforms where you can find us. Whichever is more convenient for you is what we suggest that you use. You can always find us on BeeBoomerUnleashed.podbean.com. You can find us on iTunes and Google Play at BeeBoomer Unleashed. You can also find us on iHeartRadio at B.Boomer. That's B.Boomer. And on Facebook, Spotify, Tumblr, and Instagram, you can find our link at BeeBoomer Unleashed, and on Twitter at BeeBoomer Unleashed 1. We also encourage you to send us emails of any suggestions you might have or comments about the program. We suggest that you send those to BeeBoomerUnleashed@gmail.com. Once again, that's BeeBoomerUnleashed@gmail.com. Always glad to hear from those listeners out there. Well, it's hard to believe we're already on episode 25 of Bee Boomer Unleashed. Seems like just yesterday that we started this podcast, but we're glad that we've hung around this long, and hopefully we'll be around for many episodes to come. Remember when we first started talking about the evolution of the church and Christian values, we said we were going to break our conversation in two paths, and that was church organization, which included everything from church buildings to methods of ministry. We finished up that discussion, and then a couple of weeks ago, we began talking about church teachings and how they've changed, our core values and our Christianity in practice, how those have changed over the years. Now, we told you that we would talk about five core values. There are literally hundreds that we could have talked about, but we kind of wanted to divide it up into something that was a little more concise. So we decided to talk with you about basically five core values. The first one we talked about was biblical authority, how God's word is the final authority on our lives and our day-to-day living as Christians. We also talked about the person of Jesus Christ. Who is this Jesus of the Bible? And we talked about him last week, and you can catch up on that. If you didn't listen to that, you can always go back and listen to any of these episodes you want. Well, today we're going to talk about the means of salvation. The means of salvation. And has that changed? Is it the same now as it was back in 1950? Is it the same now as it was back in Jesus' day? I would challenge you, it's a good social experiment. I would challenge you to go about asking different people this question. Could you tell me how I can get to heaven? Just a simple question. Could you tell me how I can get to heaven? Or could you tell me how you can get to heaven? Whichever way is good, but tell me how to get to heaven. You know, we ask for directions for everything else. We ask directions for the supermarket, to the ballpark, to the city park, to the police headquarters. We are always anxious to ask people for directions. At least my wife is always anxious for me to ask for directions, being the man. Sometimes it's a sign of weakness to ask for directions, right? And a lot of people feel the same way about Christianity. They think it's a sign of weakness to ask for directions. But ask this question, how does a person go about getting to heaven? And you'll be surprised at the answers you get. Now, I'll go over several of those answers with you that I've received over the years. One of my favorites says, well, I was born a Christian. Yeah, really? Yeah, really? I was born a Christian. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that any of us are born a Christian. The Bible teaches us that all have sinned. We came into this world in sin through the original sin of Adam. But a lot of people will tell you, well, I was born a Christian. I was born in a Christian home. Some people will tell you this. Well, America is a Christian nation, and I'm an American, so that means I'm a Christian, and that means I will go to heaven. You'll hear that a lot. America's a Christian nation. So the fact that whether we're going to heaven or hell is determined by, you know, fate or happenstance, that we just happen to be born in America and we're Americans. How about legal aliens? If somebody was born in a non-Christian country but then becomes a legal citizen of the United States, does that mean they're going to heaven just because now they're citizens of a Christian nation? Probably not. Here's another good one. Well, my parents are Christians. My grandparents were Christians. My grandfather was a deacon in XYZ church. My father was the Sunday school superintendent. My mom taught Sunday school for the little kids in ABC church or whatever name of the church, fill in the blank. Just because our parents are Christians doesn't mean that Christians by any wild stretch of the imagination. I know lots of folks who are Christians and their children are not. So just because your parents were Christians doesn't mean that you're going to make it in on their coattail. Here's another one. Well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm Jewish. I have to go to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I have my name on the roll there. Well, let me tell you this. No church ever saved anyone, whether it's Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, whatever. Just because I'm a member of a church doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to get a free pass into heaven, that things are good. Doesn't mean that at all. The Bible doesn't teach anything about church membership getting us to heaven. Doesn't teach that at all. So if you're under the common misconception that just because I'm a member of the Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or Presbyterian church or whatever, or I'm a Mormon or I'm a Jew or whatever, is if that's going to be your ticket to heaven, you probably ought to rethink that just a little bit. Here's another one. I believe in God, so I believe I'll go to heaven. You know, if you believe in God, you can go to heaven. Well, no, the Bible teaches that the devil's belief is in God. You know, just because Satan believes in God doesn't mean that he's going to get a pass into heaven. Satan's going to get his reward with a life sentence or an eternal sentence to a place called hell. Hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. So just because you believe in God doesn't mean you're going to get to heaven. Well, I go to church, though, but I go to church. I'm a regular attender of church. I go, and if I can't get there, I watch Charlie Stanley on TV, or I watch, you know, Joel Osteen, or I watch somebody else on TV. So I go to church. So that gets, no, the Bible doesn't teach that. It didn't teach it in the 1950s, and it doesn't teach it today. Although a lot of people have got a lot of different ideas about how they're going to go to heaven and how do I obtain this thing called salvation, it doesn't fall into a category of your works. Well, I give lots of money to the church. That ought to do it. I give a lot of money to the church. I pay my tithes and above, and I give a lot of money to the church, so that will get me a ticket into heaven. No, it's not about that at all. It's not about your works. It's not about your good deeds. Well, I help needy people. I give to the poor. You know, I serve meals down at the city mission. You know, we give to the clothing drives in the community for less fortunate. We help with the Christmas baskets and the Thanksgiving baskets to help the needy people. So that ought to gain entrance into heaven. That's the way you can go to heaven, Jerry. Just help needy people. Here's another one. I'm basically a good person. I'm basically good. I mean, God will surely look at my goodness and grant me entrance into heaven. No. Here's another one. I pray. You know, I pray to God. Yeah, okay. Well, that's good, but the first prayer that God hears is something called the sinner's prayer, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Not that God is deaf to those things, but he's really not obligated to answer those prayers, and just because you pray doesn't mean that you're praying as a Christian. You know, anybody can pray. I bet atheists pray. I bet if an atheist is going over the hill in a burning car, he's going, "Oh, God, help me, help me." I figure that an atheist even prays. I guarantee you if an atheist, or a true atheist, opens up his eyes in hell when he dies, a place that he didn't believe in. He or she didn't believe in heaven. They didn't believe in hell. They didn't believe in God. And then they open their eyes in a place called hell. I bet you that at that time they're praying, "Oh God, get me out of these flames. Help me, help me." Too late, too late. A lot of people believe that they say, well, there's a lot of, you know, everybody's trying to get to the same place. So it doesn't really matter what you believe. If you believe something, if you're sincere in your beliefs, then God will honor that and you'll go to heaven. No, I can sincerely believe that I'm the third baseman for the Pittsburgh Pirates. That doesn't mean it's so. Just because you believe that everybody's heading for the same place, and just because you're sincere, well, I'm sincere in what I believe. Well, you could be sincere, but you could be sincerely wrong. Some people believe a lot of things. They used to believe the world was flat. You remember that? Well, probably not personally, but you remember reading about that, and people believe that the world, the earth, was flat, and that the sun moved. All these kinds of things. Well, we've found out that that's not the case. Well, those people sincerely believed that, but guess what? They were sincerely wrong. They were sincerely wrong. So, you know, if all of these things won't get us or gain us entrance in heaven, how do we get there? You know, back in baby boomer days, you heard a lot of preaching in churches about salvation, about repentance, about coming to God and asking His forgiveness of your sins. You know what? You don't hear a lot about that anymore. You really don't hear much about that in any church, whether it be Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian, whatever. You don't hear a whole lot about, you know, you need to trust God. You need to repent of your sins. People don't like that repentance too much. They don't like that turning from their sin. But let's go through just what I would like to refer to as God's simple plan of salvation. It worked for me back in 1962. I went down this plan of salvation and accepted it as the truth and received Christ into my heart in 1962, June 10th to be exact, June 10th, 1962. It worked back in baby boomer days. It worked back during Civil War days. It worked back in Bible days, in Jesus' time, and it will work today. And you can have all these different ways that you think that you want to go to heaven, but guess what? It hasn't changed. It's the same as it's always been. It's the same, that plan of salvation since Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. It's been the same ever since. It hasn't changed. God hasn't changed His mind about it. God won't change His mind about it. Well, what's the first thing we need to know about God's simple plan of salvation? You know, God's plan of salvation is simple. It's so simple a child can understand. And even a big dummy like me can understand it. It's not complicated. You know, a lot of people would probably be quote-unquote Christians if there was more to it, if there's something they could do about it. You know, I would recommend that you pick up a little book. It's a short read. It's a great read. It's called Done, D-O-N-E, Done. It's written by Carrie Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T, written by Carrie Schmidt. You can find it on Amazon, or you can order it from their website. I've given dozens of these books away over the years. As a matter of fact, you know, my son, who's a pastor up in northern Ohio, he gives these to all the visitors that come in to church as a little way of saying thank you for their visit that day, and it's called Done. And Carrie Schmidt, in his book, Done, basically identifies religions in two basic categories. One is, I've got to do something for salvation. Those are the doers. And then the side that believes that it's been done for them. It's already been done. I'd like to read you just a brief excerpt from Carrie's book here. And again, I encourage you to buy this thing. It's a great little read. It clears up a lot of problems. If you've got somebody you're witnessing to, or if you yourself are struggling with this business of salvation, I encourage you to get this book and read it or pass it along to someone else. He says, you see, the question we must ask when we're looking at all these systems is, what has God said? When it comes to being restored to God and gaining life with Him, what are His instructions? Very few people realize this, but to accept any of the do religions, you must basically throw away the central teaching of the Bible. He says, look at these scriptures for yourself and consider what God is saying to you. He says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. That's in Titus 3:5. You can read it for yourself. In other words, we cannot gain God's favor by doing good works. Again, God says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. That's Romans 3:20. And He's saying, you can't justify in God's sight by doing good deeds. Here's another one that Carey mentions. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's Romans 4:5. In that verse, God literally says that you cannot do good works to gain God's favor. How much more clearly can God say it than this? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Galatians 2:16. God goes on to say that His favor cannot be earned. He says in Ephesians 2:8-9 that salvation is not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Think about that, not of works. Well, what does that mean, Carey says? He says, quite simply, there's not a do list on the planet. There's not a religious system ever invented that will gain you one little bit of favor from God or bring you any closer to His presence. And that's from Carey Schmidt's book, Done. I encourage you to buy it. It's an easy read. You'll be glad you did. You can get it on Amazon. You can look up Carey Schmidt's Done. There's several places to order it. It's probably $3, probably $3 or less. So spend $3, read it, and pass it on to somebody else. So how about this God's simple plan of salvation? Well, first of all, we've got to understand that today's the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, don't put it off. This great gift from God, can you say that you're 50% sure or 100% sure of where you will spend eternity? You can know today. You really can, beyond a shadow of a doubt. These simple facts and steps can give you a peace beyond all understanding and 100% assurance of where you're going to spend eternity. But it's today. You know, we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know whether we'll be here tomorrow. I might be dead. I might be pushing up daisies tomorrow. So we have no guarantee of tomorrow, but we are here in the here and now. So what do we need to know? What do we need to do? What do we need to be saved? We don't have to do anything but accept. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means me and you, all of us, have committed sin. Well, I've never committed sin, someone might say. Well, you're pretty rare if you've never committed sin, but I dare say there's not a day goes by that all of us don't commit some sort of sin. You know, we lie, we have a bad thought, we get angry, whatever it might be. Then Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin? So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So Adam, the original sinner, he and Eve there in the Garden of Eden, because of that, we inherited that original sin. Then there's a penalty. Because we're sinners, there's a penalty for sin. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, or eternal separation from God. That verse goes on to say, though, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God has a gift for us. Nothing we can do to earn it, but He can give us eternal life. Well, how do I get that? Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So each of us have an appointment with death. We might not like to believe that. You know, I believe it more now than I did when I was 25. You know, I'll be 69 here in about a month. And, you know, that becomes more of a reality every day that I breathe. We have an appointment with death. So are you going to be ready when you meet that appointment? You say, well, how is this made possible? How can I possibly... You know, yeah, I'm a sinner. I've done all these things. I do have an appointment with death. So how can I escape hell? How can I get to heaven? How can I spend an eternity with God? Well, first of all, God's love for us. You know God loved us in John 3:16. That's a familiar verse. If anybody knows any verse in the Bible, it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow, what a powerful verse of Scripture. God loved us. Isn't that amazing that God could love a rascal like me? Then Romans 5:8 tells us that Christ died on the cross for our sins. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All of us are sinners. We were enemies of Christ. Doesn't matter what you've done, how bad you think you've been, or that no one could love someone like you or me. God does. And so much, he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die for our sins, that we might have eternal life, a home in heaven, joy unspeakable, a life worth living. You see, it's a free gift. Nothing we can do to earn it. So how do we receive this free gift of salvation? Romans 10, verses 9 through 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from an eternity in hell. Saved from everlasting punishment. You know, salvation is a free gift from God. It cannot be obtained through any other means like those we mentioned before. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't be born into a heavenly family through natural birth, through your parents or grandparents. None of your works, nothing you can do on your own, or we can do on our own, or by any way will our deeds ever get us to heaven. Just being a good person won't gain entrance into heaven. It's a gift that each one of us, me and you, must receive by the grace of God through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by the grace of God are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Once again, we can't get there by our works, folks. It's by God's grace and sending his Son Jesus, and we have to receive that. Titus 3, 5, and 7 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he hath shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, the jailer at Philippi asked Paul and Silas in Acts 16, 30 and 31. He says, he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Here's what they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house. So you can receive Jesus as your personal Savior, and you can tell others in your household how to receive this free gift. You say, well, what in the world kind of a prayer do I pray to receive this free gift? Is it really that easy, Jerry? Yeah, it's really that easy. God made it easy for us. We have to pray a prayer something like this, and it doesn't have to be verbatim, but this is the kind of prayer you need to pray. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for my sins, was buried and rose from the grave. I ask you now, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, take away my sins, and save my soul. Change my heart and my life, Lord, to be what you want it to be. Not what I want it to be, but what you want it to be. I thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of my sins and your gift of salvation and everlasting life because of your mercy and your grace. I encourage you, just take God at his word and claim his salvation by faith. Believe and you'll be saved. God's power will save you and keep you saved and help you live a victorious Christian life. The best decision that anyone ever makes in their life is to follow Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them to love him. I don't want to miss out on that. I don't know about you. I've got my ticket to heaven. I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and he is faithful and just to us, and he has prepared some things that we can't even imagine. You think Disneyland is great? You think Disney World's a big deal? Wait till you get to heaven, folks. Don't miss out. Don't miss out on that. Well, I think we've spent about all the time we need to spend on the means of salvation. Hopefully, if you've been wrestling with this, hopefully that maybe this will be the day that you will receive Jesus as your personal Savior. And we encourage you to do that. We hope it's been a blessing to you. Once again, I encourage you to order that little book, Done, D-O-N-E, by Carrie Schmidt. And read that and share it with someone who's struggling with this thing of salvation. It's been great being with you. Next week, we'll talk about the biblical institution of marriage. What is marriage all about? What was it like back in the 50s and 60s? And what has it become today? Well, listen, thanks for being with us today. Wouldn't be much fun here just talking to people that weren't there. So we hope that you will continue listening to Be Boomer Unleashed. If you liked our show, if you liked our podcast, please share it with others. Have a great week, folks. It's been great being with you. Have a great week, and may God bless each and every one of you. Goodbye.